Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you a very familiar verse, one we go back to time and time and time again on this program, 1 Chronicles 12:32, and of the sons of Issachar, we find men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. It is incumbent upon Christians in the day and age in which we live to understand the times and to be able to sift through the news to know what is true and what is false. Now, the whole world, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Romans 12:2, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The devil is working. He is pushing this world to a one-world government, to his man of sin called the Antichrist, the beast from the sea. And God is allowing all this to happen because it works out on God's big plan and grand plan. Nothing happens that the Lord does not allow to happen. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, Jesus said, except by my Father. So he's in charge of all things. And as Martin Luther said, even the devil is God's devil. So he's letting him do all these things. But as we see what's going on in our country, as we see what's going on in the world, just know that the devil is at work. He is a liar and the father of lies. He is a deceiver. And the things that we have, the liberties that we have in the United States of America, are being attacked on a regular basis. And if you've kept up in the news, you know yesterday was a big day as the Supreme Court came out with a decision that benefited the conservatives and brought a big pause to the liberals. And this is what Reuters wrote this. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Monday that Donald Trump cannot be prosecuted for actions that were within his constitutional powers as president in a landmark decision recognizing for the first time any form of presidential immunity from prosecution. The justices, in a 6-3 ruling authored by Chief Justice John Roberts, threw out a lower court's decision that had rejected Trump's claim of immunity from federal criminal charges involving his efforts to undo his 2020 election loss to Joe Biden. The 6 conservative justices were in the majority, while its 3 liberal members dissented. And Joe Biden went on TV last night to talk about how this is the worst thing in the world. He didn't use that. That's my, you know, over-exaggeration. But he said this is a dangerous precedent. He said the president will no longer be constrained by the law, and this makes it easier. This is the tone of what his speech was. This makes it easier for Trump to pursue a path toward dictatorship. And so, you know, I learned this from my friend, historian Bill Federer. We're trying to get him on the line to comment on this. But Bill Federer told me the playbook of the communists has always been you accuse your opponents of doing what you yourself are actually doing. And so all the things that we hear from the left that Trump is doing or Trump is going to do, if you have Trump, you know, if he becomes president in November of 2024, then we will see the end of democracy and life as we know it will be over. He'll set up a dictatorship and he'll go after all his political enemies and blah, 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 blah. Well, it's the exact thing that that Joe Biden has been doing. He's been going after his political opponents and taking them to court and, you know, having Trump in court in New York for all those weeks those weak charges. So actually, it's the opposite. That is what we're seeing. What the left accuses the right of doing is what the left is doing. Now, to help us unpack this this landmark decision is my good friend and historian extraordinaire, Bill Federer. And Bill, here's my question for you, and thank you for coming on. But here's my question. Why is this decision important, and why is the left so upset about it?
Well, this is the first time it's ever been brought into question that a president would be held liable for their deeds done in office. If this would have been during George W. Bush, I'm sure there would have been people that would want to accuse him of different things, certainly the different enemies of the administration calling the war with the weapons of mass destruction and all that. But Bill, really, you could pick out any president throughout history, and if he could personally be liable for what's done in office, nobody would run for office because all the political opponents would use what's called lawfare. I was researching the habit of destroying former leaders, and it is all the way back to the Bible. You have a great king, Jehoshaphat, and his son Jehoram is married to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And when Jehoram becomes king, what does he do? He kills all the rivals to his throne, all of his siblings. And then when Jehoram dies, Athaliah, the mom, she kills all the royal seed, all the descendants, except they hid Joash, right? But you have the same with the Muslim sultans. A sultan would have 1,000 wives, and he would have lots of children. And when one of the children got old enough to desire to be the next sultan, he would orchestrate the assassination of all of his siblings. You eliminate the rivals. And so this is a third world tactic. It's a gang tactic. We see it, for example, in Mexico. For the first 50 years of their constitution, only one president fulfilled his four-year term because another one would do a coup and then kill off all of his competitors, and then there'd be another coup and they would kill off all their competitors. And so in America, we've actually experienced a reprieve from the norm where you could have somebody run for office, serve, and then retire and go back to civilian life. That's been the norm. Usually the next leader will kill off anybody that was a previous leader. One of the stories in history is Pericles in Athens. He became the leader around 460 BC, and he had a political rival named Cimon, and he decided that he wanted to eliminate Cimon, so he did lawfare, and he began to weaponize the legal system in Athens to accuse Cimon of having taken a bribe from a foreign country, even though Cimon was a famous general that defeated a lot of his enemies and brought all the treasure in. Cimon wanted to make Athens great again, so to speak, by bringing all the booty back. But Pericles decided that he would start a legal proceeding called ostracizing, where if you got 6,000 citizens of Athens to vote against someone, you could have them canceled. You could have them kicked out of town for 10 years, ending their political career. And Pericles did this twice to Cimon. All the while, Pericles said he wanted to save democracy. He was wanting to defend democracy. But while he was saying that, he was accumulating power, making himself a dictator. And when the people said, hey, wait a second, you're getting too powerful, and they were talking of ostracizing Pericles, that's when he intentionally let Athens get into a war with Sparta called the Peloponnesian War. And it was an unnecessary war, but he wanted to do this so that people would get their attention off of him, mm-hmm. and then get it under the war, and then they would want a strong leader in time of war. And so that became the pattern ever since. When you have a democracy or republic and a leader is getting unpopular, he wants to get the country into a war intentionally. And then everybody will forget all the corruption and say, well, let's get behind the leader. We have to unify and so forth.
Right. Hey, Bill, we hear so much from the left about a threat to democracy. Trump is a threat to democracy. All the while, people believing, okay, we're a democracy, but we're not a democracy. Our founding fathers set it up as a republic, not a democracy. Can you explain the difference between those two?
Right. So the word democracy has two meanings. One is a general reference to a popular government. Now, popular in the term of population or populace. And so the pop means people. And so a popular government is where the people rule themselves. And so this general definition of democracy became in use with Franklin Roosevelt, contrasting us to the Nazis, and Harry S. Truman in his inaugural address. Like a dozen times, he contrasts democracy with communism. Democracy with communism. We have freedom and they don't. And so this general reference to a popular rule began more or less during World War II and the Cold War. But as an actual form of government, a democracy, demos means people, krasi means rule. In a democracy, it only worked in a very small scale. Why? Because there were 6,000 citizens in Athens, and every citizen had to be at every meeting every day to talk about every issue. And if you didn't keep up with what issues we're talking about today, you're in the dark. You're called an idiotus. An idiot. And so that's why they were called city states, because they could not grow larger than a city, because you physically had to be there to give your say every single day. Now, a republic is where you take care of your family and your farm, and you have someone in your place that goes to the market every day. They are your representative. So you're still in charge, you're just ruling through a representative. An easy way to remember is the word republic begins with three letters, R-E-P, and the word representative begins with three letters, R-E-P. So a republican form of government is a representative form of government. You're still in charge, you're just ruling through a delegated representative. Now, the republic's things change slower. Because if the people are all upset about some issue, and then by the time they tell their representatives, and by the time the representatives get together, their passions have cooled down somewhat. But in a pure democracy, the people can be stirred up into a frenzy and then vote. And you had Socrates, and he witnessed a battle at sea, and the admiral won, but in a storm, he did not rescue all the sailors. And he gets back, and the people of Athens were upset at him, and that whipped the city into a frenzy, and they killed the admiral. And so Socrates is like, this democracy stuff, it's mob rule. It can just be, you know, how we have today, a craze will sweep the country, mm-hmm. a frenzy will sweep the country, and everybody like reacts. And so we're one step removed, so there's less passion involved. And then in America, we add another step. It's called a constitutional republic. So our representatives, even though they're representatives, they're still limited by these rules called constitution. And they get elected every 2 years, congressmen, and 6 years, senators, and so forth. And then one last thing is the purpose of our constitution is to guarantee what's mentioned in the Declaration, and that's all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And so the purpose of our government is to guarantee to us our Creator-given rights. If there is no Creator, then it's just what they vote, and that's what you have in Canada. They don't have any inalienable rights up there. It's just what the people vote, and you can sway the people through media. And so really whoever controls the media controls the country. And that's what happened in Athens. So they had this population of 6,000 people, but Pericles actually paid and subsidized the theater. so that everybody could go to the theater for free. And you're like, oh, why did he do that? Just want to entertain? But no, it's all political. Mm-hmm. All those plays they put on, comedies, tragedies, satires, would ridicule and buffoon certain points of view and honor and extol others. It was their version of TV. It was Saturday Night Live. They would make fun of different...
We are up against a break, but I appreciate you coming on, my friend. It's always a learning experience to talk to William J. Federer and get his new book, Silence is Consent. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Supreme Court ruling yesterday saying that Trump has broad immunity from prosecution because he was acting in official capacity as the president. And conservatives are celebrating that ruling. And it was a 6-3 ruling with the conservatives on the court ruling in favor with the majority and 3 dissents from the more liberal members of the court. And President Joe Biden came on the air yesterday and was decrying how this is a terrible decision. It's a dangerous precedent. The president will no longer be constrained by the law. This makes it easier for Trump to pursue a path toward dictatorship. And that's they're beating that drum and saying, you know, if Trump becomes president in 2024, we will see the end of democracy. And as I shared in the first segment, I learned this from Bill Federer, our guest just in the first segment. The tactic of the left and the tactic of communism is to accuse your opponent of doing what you yourself are doing. Say it loud enough, say it long enough, and people will believe the lie. If you read the book Animal Farm by George Orwell, just a short read, it just shows exactly how that plays out, and people start to believe the lie. Listen, the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he is working overtime to push this world to a one-world government where his man, the Antichrist, can be in charge. And it's coming, the coming day of the Lord, as the scripture talks about. Well, my next guest is my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter. He's chairman and CEO of the Danbury Institute. It's an association of churches, Christians, and organizations committed to preserving the values and liberties this country was founded on, protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Scott, welcome to the program.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Good morning. Always glad to be with you and your audience today.
Well, I appreciate you and the work you do, Scott. And so give me your take on the ruling yesterday regarding President Trump and presidential immunity.
Sure, you bet. I think your summary there was very precise and accurate in a bunch of ways. I would say, first of all, it's telling and worth considering that we've been a country now for right around 250 years, and this is the first time we're having to address any of these things. The ruling that came up yesterday was the first time the Supreme Court had spoken and had recognized presidential immunity from prosecution in different areas. And, you know, it's in response to the first time of a former president being criminally prosecuted, indicted in these ways, and even convicted. And so it just speaks to the nation right now and the state of our country right now, that we've been around for you know, centuries and haven't had to deal with these things, but we are so divided, we're so politically weaponized right now that these issues have risen to the top and the Supreme Court's weighing in. And we're just in a deeply divided place, so we need the Lord to step in and revive our country, heal our country in some key ways that are even beyond the political process. But looking specifically to the issues here at hand, yes, this is a big win for conservatives. It fell along party lines in the Supreme Court, 6-3, and that was a good moment, but one that I wasn't sure would happen, and wasn't even sure this would rule favorably right now. It's such a content and contentious topic there that is up for consideration, but it did. And this is a good precedent for our country. I'm certainly not someone who's above the rule of law or thinks anyone should be above the rule of law. We're law-abiding citizens. That's how our country functions. But the president also has to be free to be president and to operate within the bounds of his presidency and to do what he needs to do in the best interest of the country without fear of reprisal or of prosecution or persecution coming from the political left in this sense here, to be able to operate in the bounds of his office and to discharge those duties effectively. And so this protects that right. It was a nuanced opinion that came from the Supreme Court. They gave absolute immunity to core constitutional duties, kind of the focus of what the presidential powers are there. That carries absolute immunity. And then it expands as it goes out. It talks about peripheral duties, kind of on the edges of what would be his official capacity, having presumptive immunity there that needs to be determined, of course, by what lower courts are and what that could mean. And then no immunity for things that are outside of the bounds of his office and of his duties there. So they're trying to protect the president when he's functioning in the capacity as president, but not to give a wide swath there. And so I'm grateful for their nuance, for their attention to detail, and think this was the correct ruling.
Okay, so Scott, why would Biden is the president, as we all know, and so if this is a ruling that protects the president, why would he be so vehemently against it?
You know, his entire focus right now is more on winning an election than leading the country well, and we're seeing that play out in his comments and in his actions. And so this is certainly a win to conservatives, a win to the Trump campaign, and they've claimed it as such. And his response, I think, is focused on election here. Certainly coming out of the debate, he struggled in some key ways there that were on full display. And so this is another win to the Trump team and to the Trump campaign in that sense. It affects one case specifically and will certainly delay the ruling on that case beyond the election. That's the Jack Smith special counsel there in New York. And then this will also be just really positive momentum in the state cases he's facing as well, with the indictment there in Georgia and in New York as well. And so this is good momentum, a shot in the arm into President Trump's campaign. And Biden has no option but to come out and oppose this. It would be certainly protective of the presidential office that he is enjoying right now. But because he's focused on the election and the campaign, it seems to be that that's where his attention is at the moment.
Do you think, if you pull out your crystal ball, Scott, do you think that Joe Biden will be the nominee from the Democrats come November?
Boy, Pastor Jeff, I watched, as you did, with the debate, just with incredulity of the comments that were being shared there and the lack of coherence that so many of them had. And it was shocking to see our media and the legacy media specifically almost immediately upon the conclusion of that debate pivot and talk about, is he qualified to continue serving? Is he qualified to be the next candidate for the Democratic Party? Should they look at alternatives? Those lines of thinking had been totally squashed by the media up until that point, and they were quick on the trigger this time to bring those up and to float those types of ideas. Clearly, it happened almost simultaneously across multiple networks, CNN, MSNBC, those that are very favorable towards the current president. And so that was really a shocking thing to watch. To kind of see that media meltdown take place after the debate and those ideas floated. However, I've seen as well that the Biden family went back to Camp David and met together. And so when Biden spoke and addressed the nation yesterday, I was watching closely to see if he gave any hints or inclination towards that, and he certainly did not hint towards that in any way. He continued to campaign in Atlanta and North Carolina following the debate and has seemed to be pushing the gas even harder, leaning into his campaign. So it seems to be the media is now floating that idea, but the campaign and Biden, at least so far, has been closed to any consideration of that. Of course, we're at a point in the country where he would have to release his delegates to allow an open convention, a Democratic convention coming up. And so there's a lot of steps that we have to take place in that that seem to be difficult and challenging, and that he currently doesn't seem to be considering at this point.
What's Scott, what's your opinion of Donald Trump as far as it relates to Christians and voting? You know, my wife, look, she's not big on watching those debates. It just drives her crazy. But she said, you know, it's sad that these are the two candidates for the United States of America, because they are less than ideal. It just doesn't seem like we have a good choice. Now, Trump has he's a fighter, and people like that about him. He fights for what is right. He seems to love America. He's one of the only guys that comes into office and loses money, doesn't take any money, loses money with his 4 years. So how do you, as a strong Bible-believing Christian, a strong pro-life Christian, because Trump is showing that he's not strongly pro-life at all, how do you make sense of that?
Well, I think that's a timely and pertinent question that every Christian and follower of Christ needs to answer in the current situation in which we are in. I've been behind Trump from the very beginning, from 2016 when he first announced his candidacy. I've been a Trump supporter, have maintained that all the way through. One of the ways I do that as a follower of Christ is recognizing that I'm not hiring Trump to be my pastor. I'm not hiring him to be my children's best friend. We're interviewing him and voting for him as the President of the United States for a very specific role and a specific purpose in a specific time. And right now, we only have two options this time. There's not a third-party candidate that's viable. Certainly RFK is out there, but does not have a path to the White House. And so there's a binary choice this year between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And we're not looking for him to be a pastor. We're not looking for him to be our best friend or even a role model for our children in every way. Certainly, he said things I disagree with. He believes some things I personally disagree with. He's not the type of Christian I would want in my church or in those type of ways out there. But when you look at the two candidates here, specifically in that context, he is the more pro-life candidate. He has affected Supreme Court justices, which is what many of us voted for him to do, knowing that he would have opportunity to put three Supreme Court justices there on the Supreme Court. He did what he said he would do in that context, and that has given us the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. He is strong on the economy. He's strong on the border and immigration, which is a child trafficking and sex trafficking situation that's just abhorrent in the southern border of our country right now in Texas and across our border there. So he's fighting against those things that Christians want to stand against, and he generally stands for the things that Christians support, freedom of religion, those types of things, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, kind of the American values, the American ideal. And so he's certainly not a perfect person. Jesus Christ is not on the ballot this year, but we have to make a choice who will be the best representative of our values in the White House, and that's a very clear choice for me this year.
Very good. Well, I had Rick Scarborough on the program on Friday, and I had thrown this out there, Scott. I want to throw it out to you and see what you think. I think that Barack Obama is calling the shots in America. I mean, we all saw with the debate that Biden is not capable of running things. I mean, I wouldn't have Joe Biden run the library at our church. I think it would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So somebody's running things, and it seems to me Barack Obama is you know, fulfilling his third term, and he did this on purpose. They knew that Joe would do terrible because he's just not capable. As Chris Wallace said, you know, that's the best he can do because he's just not capable of doing any better. So here's my take, and my thinking is they want to get him out and put so much pressure on him that he bows out, and then get another candidate, which from Barack Obama's perspective, the best candidate for him to continue to be president is Michelle. And so what do you make of that?
Yeah, that's certainly been floated out there. I think that would be a travesty for our country in a number of ways there if that were the outcome of all of this. Michelle has said publicly that she is not interested in that, and so I'm hopeful that that's a true statement. We know how politicians work, and the things that they say are often not accurate. So I certainly would not take that at face value, but she has said that publicly. Just the other day, though, I watched President Biden and former President Obama walk off of the stage, and Obama put his arm around him and guided him in a way that you would guide your feeble elderly father, in a way that would be demeaning and insulting in any other instance, and yet it worked in that moment. a lot of people latched onto that and just said this is the picture of what's happening in our country, Obama shepherding things along. The question has to be answered here, who is running the country? After watching the debate and hearing his level of competence and coherence, who is running the country? Certainly there's influence from people like that. There's also just a lot of non-elected, unelected officials that seem to be influencing things, making decisions, and then he's going out and rubber stamping them or signing them, and that's tremendously concerning. We're in a republic where we elect our officials, and so to think about our country being run by unelected bureaucratic officials in Washington, D.C., I don't trust that process. The American people don't trust that process, and so we need transparency. We need to see what's happening. The debate will certainly lift the curtain into some of those things and necessitate some questions to be asked and answered from the campaign and from the White House, and so I'm grateful for that there. But we need answers as far as who's actually in charge, who's making these decisions, what's happening on a day-to-day basis when he's clearly not at the helm in a cognitive state there. What's our country doing? And I think that plays into this election here as well. This is a reform on the Biden presidency. He's being challenged partway through for his second term, and so this is a reform election on his presidency for sure.
Well, Scott, you and I both believe 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And this is, our nation is in such bad shape that man can't fix it. I mean, God has to fix it. And Christians hold the key. As we get right with God, as we begin to pray, as we are getting ready to celebrate July 4th, and as we begin to pray for this nation, then God hears from heaven. He forgives. He heals the land. And apart from that, we don't have much hope, do we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're such a divided country, and we are still one people under God. Our country was founded on those values. The Danbury Institute is seeking to return to and to perpetuate those Christian values and our heritage as a nation, and we must get back to a place that honors the Lord. So many founding fathers wrote that our Constitution, our documents, our laws, all of those are wholly unacceptable for a country whose Lord is not God. And so we've got to get back to what made our country great and strong and return to being a moral and a virtuous and a duty-filled people.
Amen. Scott, thank you so much for being my guest. I appreciate you, appreciate your sweet wife and the work that you're doing, and keep it up, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we are just a minute and a half away from a break. But when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we've been talking about this subject and the landmark decision, I think we could call it that, from yesterday, the Supreme Court saying that the president has immunity when he's acting in official capacity, and it really puts a kibosh or puts the brakes on, for sure, the prosecution of Trump as it relates to January 6th. So give me a call, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Share your thoughts, comments concerning this. And as I said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's in the book. And some people say, well, that doesn't apply to Christians. That's just to God's Old Testament people. I just believe that's to God's people. And if my people, New Testament people, belong to the Lord, and if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. To pray, you have to humble yourself. And then we seek the Lord's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways. We deal with the sin in our life. Then God hears from heaven. Then he forgives our sin, and then he heals our land.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the Supreme Court decision from yesterday regarding presidential immunity. And I did pull a clip from Kayleigh McEnany as she interviewed Speaker Mike Johnson. Let's listen in.
Speaker Johnson, it's really a pleasure to have you. You just heard from President Biden, and he said the American people dissent. I dissent. What say you?
Kaylee, what we're seeing tonight is despicable and it is dangerous. The president has been trying to undermine our legal system. First, they weaponized the Department of Justice to go after his chief political opponent, which of course is Donald Trump. And now, when it doesn't work the way they planned it, the way they designed it, when the law gets in the way of what they're trying to do, now he's trying to undermine the Supreme Court itself. It truly is an unprecedented moment in American history. And it's at a dangerous time. You know, President Biden showed the country that he is unfit to continue to serve in office. He does not have the capacity and the mental acuity to do it. And he's so desperate, now that everybody has seen that, that he's willing to turn on the system of justice itself. It's really a remarkable evening. Everything that we're watching is remarkable.
You know, Speaker Johnson, your Democratic counterpart, Hakeem Jeffries, had a really curious quote. He talked about the extreme far-right justices being brought into compliance. What does that mean?
I have no idea. Look, there's all sorts of hyperbole tonight and just this fantastical, these hypotheticals they've made up. Future presidents are going to turn into assassins and all the rest. It's madness. Listen, remember this. The president and the vice president are the only two offices in our constitutional system that are elected by all the people. No one who is elected to that office is going to be prone to this kind of crazy criminal activity. What the court is saying here follows common sense and, of course, our Constitution as well. You have to have the president with the ability to make difficult decisions hourly, daily, and not be worried about rogue prosecutors going after them at some point in the future. I mean, the president can't operate if he has that kind of sword of Damocles hanging over his head. And that's very simply what the court ruled today. It should have been 9-0. It was only 6-3. And the liberal justices are playing along with the charade. I really do think it's a scary thing for them to undermine the court itself.
That was Speaker of the House Mike Johnson talking about Joe Biden's speech to the nation concerning this decision from the Supreme Court yesterday. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Raymond on the line from Arkansas. Raymond, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to get to speak to you. I've tried several times. So, anyway.
Thanks for calling in.
I just wanted to share with you and your listening audience something I read a long time ago from C.S. Lewis. I love the Screwtape letters.
Mm-hmm.
And he has that one, Screwtape proposes a toast to the graduating class of demons. And the word democracy comes up in that. And I just, you know, he goes into, he's had a counterattack in England and that they've had great success doing that. But he addresses the graduating demon class. He says, you who are mere beginners will not be entrusted with the work of that kind. You will be attached as tempters to private persons. Against them and through them, our counterattack takes a different form. Just a couple of sentences from this. The first, democracy is the word with which you must lead them by the nose. Then skipping on down a little bit, just another part, quoting, you are to use the word purely as an incantation, if you like, purely for its selling power. It is a name they venerate. And, of course, the whole thing needs to be read. I would suggest you read it. Screwtape proposes a toast. And that your audience read it. It's enlightening. But I've always, as we've heard this word bannered about here lately, these.
Yeah, for sure. Good word, Raymond. Yeah, C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape letters, it's Screwtape is a demon writing to another demon, and they're talking about it kind of gives us a look at the demonic world. How could they, you know, he's just hypothesizing, but how does the demonic world work? And we need to be, as Paul said, we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We need to know how he's at work. He is a liar and the father of lies. So we have to immerse ourselves in the truth. Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. So thanks for calling in, Raymond. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning. You know, I find it troubling that we have to challenge the Supreme Court to define what the president should or should not have under his discretion, or to use them to define what it is that president's discretion is. You know, it's such a Marxist tactic. Push, push, push. When everyone, it's very clear to everyone, we elect a president, he has to use his discretion as far as what is, you know, national security and all this other stuff. It's very troubling. So they get a decision against them. Oh, too bad. We already assumed that because it's constitutional. But once in a while, they get a win because they slide things under there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, like you do, who's really running the country? You know, I can have my presumptions, like follow follow your Susan Rice's, follow your message bearers that go between the White House and whoever's running the country. But at the end of the day, we still have the NSA. We have Central Security Command in Maryland. And every phone call, every email that's trackable or that's transmitted over in the U.S. Continental 48, it's very easy to track. Why aren't we able to use these apps? Why can't we access these routes legally to determine who's really running the country? Why aren't...
Right. Yeah, I don't think they want the deep state doesn't want anybody to know, oh, Joe Biden's running the country. Obviously, he's not capable of doing that. And it, as has been said on many, many programs, it is cruel and unusual punishment what they're doing, what the family's doing to Joe Biden. He is not in a place to be put up in front and paraded around and do all these speeches and try and debate on national television, international television. It's just wrong. It's elder abuse, and they need to stop doing that. And we need to pray. We need to pray for him. You know, he is a human being. You may disagree with his policies, and we can disagree with the left. The left is not our enemy. The LGBTQIA+ is not our enemy. They're being used by the enemy. They're being deceived. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But we need to pray for them. They are the mission field. And so we need to pray that their eyes would be open to the truth, that they would see the error of their ways. I preached last Sunday about there was no king in Israel, the last verse in the book of Judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes, what pleased him, what he thought was right. Hey, we know about this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If we're not going the way of the Lord, we're going to be going the wrong way. And so we need to be very sensitive to that. Well, we have Paul on the line from Louisiana. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for having me on. I love to hear your messages every morning.
Thank you.
I just want to make one quick statement about, I really believe that what the deep state leaders are slantedly stating about the statement coming from the courts is not something about Trump at all, but what they plan on doing horrifically coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving it wide open the way I'm wording it because they got plans. They plan all the time. And
yeah.
I like your statement, because I was saying, I was calling it the left and other leaders, but no, you're right. It's the deep state leaders, and they have roots in our digital devices and the media.
Yeah, that's a good word, Paul. They do, and it's just we're fighting a battle that you can just see the devil's fingerprints are all over it. So the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and he is trying to squeeze everyone into his mold. That's why the scripture says, be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As I shared Sunday with our church about everyone did what was right in his own eyes, I called that sermon When Right is Wrong. And I said, you know, how do you combat the lies? You have to just immerse yourself in the truth. You have to know the truth. And, you know, the Bible is the truth. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And if we don't know the word, and if we're not taking the time to understand the times, as the men of Issachar did, we're going to be in the dark. And, you know, life hack. This is so true. Hey, if big government's pushing it, if the mainstream legacy media is pushing it, if big pharma's pushing it, if everyone seems to be coming together in this coordinated effort, they're all saying the same thing, just know that's a lie. Now, they may think it's the truth as they're speaking these words, but they're lying. Whether it's a bold-faced lie or they're just deceived, but it is a lie, because we're not going the way of the world. The way of the world in Genesis 6 said there's not going to be a flood, and in Genesis 7 there was a flood, and the only salvation was in the ark of safety that God had Noah build. So God bless you, my brother. Thanks for calling in. We have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, brother, thank you. Sorry I'm out back working, but I was telling the call screener, I guess I need some wise counsel. I'm meeting with a representative from our church that I'm a member of, because I've requested through the proper channels, this backstory, to be able to put the iVoter guide into the handout every Sunday so that the congregants are informed from a nonpartisan Christian background of who's in the race, not just nationally, but in locally and everything. And I got pushed back from that, and then I asked if I could do a biblical citizenship course on a Wednesday night at the church, and I got pushed back from that. And so I asked more in-depth questions, and I'm meeting with this gentleman tomorrow, and he says that it's the Baptist tenet to separate church from state. Mm. But growing up Baptist my whole life, I've heard preachers many, many times teach against the culture. So I was just wondering if you had any... I've been praying about it.
Yeah.
Coming up with a few instances of where, even in the Bible, Jesus preached against the culture and against the political system.
Right. Well, I think a really good book, Jerry, is the newest book by Bill Federer, Silence Equals Consent. And he talks about how at weddings, if anybody is opposed to this union, speak now or forever hold your peace. If you don't speak up, you are giving consent through your silence. And so we desperately need, in the church, we need to speak up on these issues. Now, people will say, we're getting too political. Well, there's an intersection between politics and morality. I mean, abortion, you say, well, that's a political thing. No, it's not. It's a moral thing. And the church needs to speak up. I have said before, and it's not original with me, I got it from Adrian Rogers, but I like it. I wouldn't vote for my own mother if she were running for office and she was pro-abortion. You just don't vote for a candidate that is pushing abortion. Now, as I said with Scott Coulter in the previous segment, Trump doesn't seem to have a strong moral base on the issue of abortion. Abortion is murder. But Biden is so pro-abortion. I would take my chances with if I got to play Russian roulette, I don't want to grab a revolver that has bullets in every chamber. And with Trump, you have one bullet in the six chambers, and so you have a chance to survive with him. And but with Biden, you don't. He wants to kill babies, and that is the sacred cow of the left is abortion, and it is sickening, and it is horrific, and it will bring, and always does bring, the judgment of God, as we see in the land of Israel. Before it was the land of Israel, why did God dispossess the Canaanites? Because of child sacrifice and their wicked sexualized worship of Baal, and the Lord kicked them out of the land and gave it to his people. And what did his people do? They acted just as wickedly as the Canaanites. And sad reality. But listen, as the scripture says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. We all have feet of clay, and we all need the grace of God and the forgiveness of the Lord. And we need to constantly bring ourselves before the Lord and pray the prayer of David, search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any hurtful, evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And And were it not for the grace of God, were it not for the mercy of God, we would all be condemned, and rightfully so. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get to Dennis, Nellie, David, or Melvin, and I apologize about that. We are out of time, but thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. My wife is going to join me as we talk about ways to enhance our prayer life. We need to grow in the area of prayer, and I'll be the first to put myself on that list that I need to grow in my prayer life. And so go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith,